I need to ask a quick favor of you. As a lot of y'all know, at the top of next year, I have a book entitled Theologizing Bigger dropping. In anticipation of that book, I have to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can to launch that book successfully when the time comes. And one of the ways I'm doing that is by rolling some things out through my newsletter. Now, if you could subscribe to my newsletter, that would be a huge help for me. And it won't cost you a thing unless you really want to support, and there's an option to do that too. You can do that at pastortrey05.substack.com. Once again, that's pastortrey05.substack.com. And as an added bonus, you might even like some of the stuff you see being posted over there. So if you're not a hater, go ahead and sign up for that. Invite a friend to do it, and we're going to have us a mighty good time. Back to our regularly scheduled programming. Ah, beloved, I'm Pastor Trey, and you're now listening to the New Living Translation. This is bona fide Bible talk, because God speaks my language too, and I'm sure enough about to act like it. Let's go. Yo, we really made it. This is the end of season 3 of the New Living Translation. I don't know about y'all, but I had fun with this, covering this theme of love as an act of liberation. When I hit the pulpit, my preaching philosophy is often that I'll be preaching the messages that I need to hear myself. I'm preaching to myself the majority of the time I take a pulpit, when I stand at the sacred desk, as they say. And so this whole season has been me talking to myself, literally, because when I record this podcast, I be speaking into a microphone in a room with nobody but me. Quiet is kept. I don't even really know who be listening to these things, but I don't know. The app tell me a couple of y'all do. Anyway, I'm also talking to myself in the sense that sometimes I need to remind myself of these things, of the truths that are contained in these sacred texts that we recognize as the Bible. This season pretty much took us through the whole calendar year of 2023, which was a wild year in the world and my life in particular for a number of reasons. My responsibilities at work shifted a little bit, been learning some new things and growing in that capacity. But also, as many of y'all are aware, at the top of next year, 2024, my debut book is going to be dropping. I wrote that book this year, did all the things to turn those words into a book this year. And I ain't gonna lie to you, that was a pretty intense process at certain points. But I say all of that and give all of that context to say that each time I sat in front of this microphone recording one of these episodes of the New Living Translation was almost sort of therapeutic for me, because the work that goes into these things and the labor of love, some would say, that goes into rendering these words about God to a language that sits a little bit closer to the roads I traveled every day, that helped me. It was something of a sustaining practice. So in this last episode, season 3 of the New Living Translation, I want to put a little bit of a bow on this theme of love as an act of liberation. Not that I believe I've done it justice, not that I believe we finished talking about it. I honestly believe that liberation and salvation are synonyms, so we could turn this whole show in perpetuity onto this thing. But right now, I'm gonna put a bit of a bow on this and turn to a scripture where Jesus is giving his disciples, his followers, his crew a little bit of a farewell himself. See, the four gospel accounts that we have contained in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a lot of y'all know that there's a lot of similarities between them, at least the first three of those, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We call those the synoptic gospels in some instances. And then there's John. It's really odd, I guess you could say. It's a different sort of gospel account that John gives. Personally, as far as telling story goes, like the art of storytelling, I have the most issues with John. John is the king of spoiler alerts. You just be reading John and then he'll be like, oh yeah, this is who this happens to later. And I'm like, bro, why would you tell me that? Like, what if I didn't know, John? Pretend I didn't know none of this story. Why would you tell it to me like this? I don't appreciate that at all. Like, if we turn John's gospel account into a movie, I'd give it 2 out of 5 stars. Just the narrative is not how I like my narrative structured as far as suspense goes, beginning, middle, and ending. John will be like, beginning, ending, middle, ending, ending, ending. And you know what the ending is the whole time, because John couldn't sit on the secret at all. But we digress. In John's gospel, before we get to what we know and recognize as the passion narrative, where all of the bad, grimy stuff happens to Jesus at the hands of the Roman Empire, Jesus spends some time with his disciples giving something of a monologue that we don't see in the synoptic gospels. There's a bunch of talking that Jesus does, setting the record straight. It almost reminds me of the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses knows he's about to die, and so he calls all of Israel together and gives this series of sermons reminding them of where they've been, pointing them toward where they're going, and reiterating the truths that God has communicated to him. Jesus does something similar in the back end of John's gospel account. And so without any further ado, in this episode of the New Living Translation, we're going to turn to John chapter 15. We're going to hit up the first 17 verses, and we're going to see what Jesus has to say about this thing we call love. Let's get into it. I'm the plug, and my pops is the source. Anybody connected to me that ain't making nothing shake, he cutting off. And everyone that makes something shake, he gets them set up even better so they can make more shake. Y'all already set up because I've been putting you on game. You ride for me, and I ride for you. Just like the Connects can't make nothing shake by themselves if they don't ride for the plug, you can't do it if you don't ride for me. So I'm the plug. Y'all connect through me. The ones who ride for me like I ride for them, they're going to be able to make a lot shake. But without me, you can't do much of nothing. If anyone don't ride for me, they get tossed to the side like a bad connect. They get rounded up and smoked. If you ride for me and live by my code, whatever you dream of and ask for is coming your way. That's how my pop shines, when y'all make a whole lot shake and learn to live like me. I love y'all like my pops love me. Live by my love. If you follow my rules, you're gonna live by my love. Just like I follow my pops' rules and live in his love. I said all this so I can be hype about y'all, and so that y'all can be hype in everything. And this is my rule. Love each other like I loved y'all. Ain't no better love than this. When someone put their whole life on the line for their friends. And you my friend if you do what I'm telling you. I don't call y'all peons no more. Peons don't know what the boss is doing. I call y'all friends because everything I heard from my pops, I put y'all on. Y'all ain't choose me, I chose you. I put y'all in position to make something shake. Whatever you make shake gonna last. So that my pops gonna give you whatever you ask on my name. So this is the new code I'm giving y'all. Love each other. Feel like I say this a whole bunch on this show, but this is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. You see, a lot of us spend a lot of time and energy grappling with the role that biblical commandments play in the life of the believer today. Are we supposed to follow the Ten Commandments still? If so, why do we go to church on Sunday instead of Saturday? Which of the 613 laws that are recognized in the Hebrew Bible and tradition do we follow today as believers? Do we follow the ceremonial laws? Do we follow just the moral laws? How do we know the difference between a ceremonial law and a moral law? Like, there's a lot of time and energy, resources, blog posts, even textbooks written about this topic. I know about the textbook part because my first stop in seminary, this was really something that we tried to nail down and flesh out. And to be absolutely clear, Jesus is absolutely concerned about commandments. Yes, even the Jewish ones. Jesus was an observant Jew. He was born a Jewish man. He lived as a Jewish man. He was executed by the Roman Empire as a Jewish man. Jesus was Jewish. Commandments is part of the life that he lived. And Jesus spoke about commandments, not just in the John's gospel account, but also in all three of the synoptic gospel accounts. But right here in this farewell speech, Jesus tells his disciples, his closest friends, that they are only his friends if they keep his commandments. It's a line that's often invoked when we are trying to police the boundaries of who is in and who is out. Have you kept the commandments? This is one of my favorite places to turn to, because what Jesus does in this moment is reiterate that all of the laws and all of the commandments are really about one thing: love. That's not something that the writer of this gospel account makes up. All of the gospel accounts point to this fact. Jesus says that the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love your neighbor, and that all the rest of the law hang on those two. Love is central to the command of Jesus. He says that a new commandment he gives them, that they should love one another. Love is what this thing is all about. Love is what Jesus says his commandment is. That's how people will know that you are his disciples, if you love each other. And one of the things that Jesus says explicitly in this speech is that there is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friends. It's an echo of that verse in John 3:16, where Jesus says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Giving your life is the ultimate act of love, and not just the gory sense of the crucifixion. It's not just that. It's a matter of what Jesus does with his life before he goes to die. He pours himself out. He says that I will give everything I have so that you can have life. That's what love looks like. Now, way back at the beginning of this season, I said that love is the commitment to wholeness. And I feel as though that's something that Jesus affirms in this speech when he says there's no greater love than you laying out your life, being that committed that you will give everything that you are, everything that you have, and everything that you do so that somebody else can know the fullness of life. That is what love looks like, and that is what Jesus commands of his disciples. And so when we look at that picture of love, that idea of love, we see that Jesus says this is what it really looks like. When you are plugged into me, when you're connected to me, because I'm the vine, I'm the plug, I'm connected to the source. And when you're plugged into me, you bear fruit. This is what your fruit looks like. Your fruit will be people who go out and bear more fruit, people who make more things shake. Jesus says, my love is contagious. It has to multiply. That's how this thing works out. And in this speech, Jesus says, I'm telling you this so that my joy might be in you and so that your joy might be fulfilled. I want to be hype about you. If you can understand what love is, if you can follow this commandment, then I can be proud of you. And if you can understand this, then you'll be hype about everything, because you'll see love everywhere. You'll find that love bearing fruit that bears more fruit of love. It's this idea that your salvation is the product of love. There's this James Baldwin quote that lives rent-free in my head. Like, I think about it on a regular basis, so much so that it actually made its way to the very front of Theologizing Bigger. Like, that's how much I think about this quote. But James Baldwin says that if the concept of God has any validity or any use, it can only be to make us larger, freer, and more loving. If God cannot do this, it is time we got rid of him. Now, some people are really concerned about outlining what a real Christian looks like. I'm not one of those people, because real Christians have actually done some real harm throughout human history. I believe that a Christian is whoever a Christian says they are. I'm not concerned about policing that word. But what it looks like to follow Jesus, I think that's something serious. Jesus says that they will know us by our love, and that we are his friends if we follow his commandment to love one another. It almost seems like James Baldwin was saying that if we can't find no friends of Jesus, then we ain't got no reason for God. And I think he might be right. Let me pray with you. Almighty God, whose identity is made known by love, help us to love like Jesus did, so that he can call us friends and that the world might know wholeness. And because we asking that on Jesus' name, we know it's already done. Amen. Translation is a production of Three Black Men, the podcast about theology, culture, and the world around us. You can follow us on Twitter at Three Black Men. That's the number three, not spelled out, Black Men. You can find me on all social media platforms at PastorTrey05. That's PastorTrey05. Don't send me no Facebook requests, though. Like, I don't be over there. That's the bad place. This work has been made possible by a community of folks who've chosen to show their support through generosity. You can join us at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Spell three out that time, though. patreon.com/threeblackmen. There you can find even more original content from Sam, Rob, and yours truly. Make sure you subscribe to, rate, and review the New Living Translation and Three Black Men wherever you get your podcast. And remember, real recognize real. Don't get caught looking unfamiliar.